We're here for one reason, and that is to worship God, to adore God. So I want you to do something. I want you to just, I promise you, I'll let you out before 1 o'clock. Just forget about the casserole you left on time bake for now. Forget about what you have to do when you get the guests that are coming, the people that you're going to be serving. Let's just concentrate right now on worshiping God. Chapter 2 of Matthew gives us the story, a story that you all know, you all have read, the story of the Magi, those three wise men that come and worship Jesus. Now, the truth is about all this is that we don't know a great deal about the Magi. As a matter of fact, it's easier to list the things we don't know than the things that we do know. For example, we don't know how many there were. I know one of you just wants to raise their hands and says, yes, we do. Well, tradition says that there were three because the Bible talks about three gifts. So we assume that each one was carrying a gift. But we really, really don't know. They might have been more. Think about it. Three men from the east, only three, on their camels, with a whole bunch of gold and a whole bunch of gifts, traveling in the evening. Yeah, like that's going to happen. How many of you would travel, three of you, with a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of gold, in L.A., all three of you? I could pick in L.A. because I lived there. So, we don't know their names. Now, tradition has it that their names were Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthasar. But in reality, we don't know their names. Could have been Walter, Mike, and Isaiah. We don't know where they came from. Well, I know one of you is wrong. No, where exactly they came. We know they came from the east. That's all we know. That they came from the east. We don't know when they exactly arrived to see Jesus. What we do know is this, is that they arrived after his birth, and that they arrived before Jesus was two. So, it's your choice. Might have been closer to when he was two. Here's the thing. We do know that they were outside the citizenship of Israel. In other words, for the saved ones, they were heathen. They were pagan. And I think it's wonderful to know that even though they were not part of Israel, that God spoke to them in ways that they could understand. And I think it's another wonderful thing about all this is that he speaks in ways to us that we could understand. And so this morning we're going to talk about adoring, worshiping God. Now, what does the word adore mean? Well, the word adore means to worship, to admire, and to be extremely fond of. Who do you worship? Who do you adore? I've heard some grandparents say, oh, I adore my grandkids. Yeah, that's it, you know, to worship, to admire, and to be extremely fond of. Maybe extremely fond of will fit there for a grandkid. But hopefully you're not worshiping them. Although some grandparents do kind of border that, don't they? Yeah. Four things that we could learn from that chapter about the Magi, Matthew. The first one. Yeah, we found John 4:24, if you have your Bibles. John 4:24. This is what it says. It says, God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. It's true that stable might have been, well, you know, usually all the pictures I see of the stables were of Jesus when he was born, the renderings of the artists, it's the clean stable. But think about it, that innkeeper, I mean, everybody was there. It was busy. I don't think he had time to go out and clean the stable. And yes, there might have been dung all over, the smell of sheep, the smell of cattle, cow. I mean, it was a stable. Have you ever worked around a stable? Some of you have, because some of you, I've heard you say, oh, I've lived in a farm. Yeah, it was a stable. And there in that stable, Jesus Christ was born. What a place for the King of the universe to be born. And yet, he was not only a gentle infant. He was the glorious incarnation of God himself. God made flesh. Do you remember the story of the sinful woman? Comes to Jesus while he was at a dinner party of all things. Some of the Pharisees were there and she comes in there, pours oil on his feet. She cries and then gets her hair, washes Jesus' feet with her hair. And then Jesus turns and says to the amazed Pharisees and leaders that were there with their eyes like this, she touched him. Doesn't he know who she is? And Jesus says, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head. She has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. And then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. This woman came into that room and worshiped God, adored Jesus Christ, she made him part of her life. She embraced Christ. He was no longer that little baby in the manger. For her, he was God walking among sinners. I think we need to worship Jesus. Not only because he was a good man. Because Jesus was a good man. He did many miracles. I mean, he served his people. He gave his life for his people. He was a good man. But not only that, he was the God man. God. Here on earth. Open your Bibles again, John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Because here's another reason why we need to adore and worship Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was not only an excellent teacher. Of all the teachers, Jesus was the most excellent. But he was not only a good teacher, he was and continues to be God's truth. He said it himself, I am the truth. The other thing we need and we learn here in Matthew chapter 2 is that we need to continue to adore him not only rightly or correctly for who he is, but we need to adore him repeatedly. Repeatedly. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. An admonition to one of the churches. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. The church of Ephesus, the angel is writing, and he says this. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You have left your first love. One of the reasons that we sometimes stop worshiping Jesus is that we have left the first love that we first felt for him. We need to worship him daily. There was a family that every Christmas liked to do something that I have not heard done, but they do. They celebrate every Christmas with what they call a Shepherd's Night Out. And what is this all about? They relive the Christmas story through the perspective of the shepherds. So what they do is the whole family, they get dressed as shepherds. As a matter of fact, they prepare a shepherd's meal. What is a shepherd's meal? Well, according to them, a shepherd's meal is fruit, pita bread, cheese, nuts, and grape juice. They sit on the front of the Christmas tree and they pretend that they are shepherds out in the field, a shepherd family. After they eat, they take part in many Christmas plays. They act out the story. They read some stories. They watch a movie about baby Jesus. And they get out their sleeping bags and they sleep under the stars. Now the stars, of course, are the little lights of the Christmas tree. But on one occasion, the youngest boy in the family was playing Joseph. And as the group were dressed as shepherds and they were right there all around worshiping the baby Jesus, Joseph, the one playing Joseph, this little boy, picks up the little baby that was supposedly Jesus and he starts handing the shepherds and saying, do you want to hold baby Jesus? Do you want to hold baby Jesus? Do you want to hold baby Jesus? That was the most meaningful, the family member says, of all the renditions of the Shepherd's Night Out. when the young son playing Joseph wanted all the shepherds to hold on to Jesus. This morning, I think all of us should hold on to Jesus. We should worship Him and adore Him for who He is repeatedly. We should worship Him and adore Him daily. We should worship Him and adore Him as we work out in His field. Because you do know, do you remember that He has asked us to do His work? And I know that sometimes that's a scary thing. But let me just give you and remind you, the more we love someone, the less difficult it is to share that love with someone else. You know how it is. I'll talk to the guys right now. Guys, we're sort of a little bit timid at times to say in front of a lot of people that to your wife, I love you, right? We're like, I love you. And the wife says, huh? Could you say it a little bit louder? I love you. Or, you know. But the more you love someone, the less difficult that gets. So in front of you, I don't have no problem saying, I love my wife. Because I do. The more we love Jesus Christ, the easier it's going to be to tell someone else, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. So daily, as we work in the field, we need to adore Him. And as we look for His return, we should adore Him daily. John chapter 14, verse 3. All right, there we go. At first, I heard a lot of Bibles turning pages. No, but then I heard them. John chapter 14, verse 3. We have the promise, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As we look for the return of Jesus Christ, let us continue to adore Him. Let us continue to worship Him. In Mark chapter 12, there's a parable. You know, like I said, Jesus was one of the greatest teachers. Jesus used a lot of parables, a lot of stories that He taught with. And here's one in Mark 12. And it reads like this. I'm going to start reading verse 1. Then He began to speak to them in parables. And He said, a man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine vat, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, at vintage time, he sent the servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them last, saying, they will respect, they will reverence my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. We need to worship. We need to adore. We need to reverence Jesus Christ. We need to give Jesus Christ first place in our hearts. I would just like you to think about it right now. In your heart, what is first place in your heart? Son, daughter, husband, wife, car, house, savings, checking. What's first place in your heart? And Jesus wants for us to give him first place in our hearts. First place. We need to give Jesus Christ all the praise that he deserves. And let me ask you something this morning. Does Jesus Christ deserve our praise? Amen. He does. How much of it? All of it. That is correct. All of our praise. We need to give him preeminence in our heart. Everything that he deserves. I found this. On the internet. Maybe some of you have read this. But if Jesus would sit down on a chair and start typing an email to his father. Have you ever wondered what that email would sound, read? I read this one, and I said, wow. And it talks about giving him first place in our hearts. Dear Father, as you know, I'm celebrating my birthday with the host who invited me this year. I rejoiced at the opportunity and look forward to spending the holidays with them. However, these people are really quite strange. They really have not paid much attention to me at all since my arrival. There's much talk about Chris, a fellow they call Chris Kringle or Santa Claus. Interesting, their party in honor of me, guess who they featured as the guest of honor? This Chris fellow. Can you believe it? And for most of the past few weeks, all I have heard is, have you seen Chris yet? And what is Chris bringing you for Christmas? Besides, I've seen so many pictures and figures of Chris on housetops, on doors, on lawns, on sweatshirts, cards, all the other things. It makes me wonder who they really love. All things considered, it seems more of a party about Chris than about Christ. And there's this big emphasis on presents. No, not my presence, mind you, but presents for their family and friends. Considering how much of them are spending, it looks like we don't rank very high in comparison. Some of them will even spend more than just for Christmas than they give to us all year. What really saddens me is that so many will celebrate Christmas and never even know that I am here. They might mention me, but not know me. Bow their heads, but not worship as the wise men did. Give, but not love. Pray, but not believe. Relax in their homes, but not rest in your hands. gather around their live trees, but never gather around the tree of life. In fact, this supposed party for me reminds me of some of their Christmas trees, bright, fancy, and artificial. Thankfully, there are some who truly celebrate. It seems oddly refreshing when someone at my party gets more excited about me than the games, gifts, and guests. I can't wait to get back home and bring these folks home with me. We'll have a real Christmas party then. Much love, Jesus. We need to give Jesus preeminence, preference in our hearts. The fourth thing we learn here about the Magi is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Short verse. And all it says is, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." When we adore Him, we need to worship and adore Him responsively. How do we do that? Well, by loving His children. Who are His children? That's you and I, all of us. And that is sometimes hard to do. But it's not a suggestion. To me, it's more like a command. If God so loved us, let me ask a question, and you may respond. Did God love us? Then if He loved us, we also ought to love one another. We need to love His children. We need to take up our cross and carry it. What is your cross? Take it. Put it on your shoulders. Carry it for Jesus Christ. We need to adore and to worship Him by keeping the commandments of God. By asking and by doing that which He has asked us to do His will. There's a story of two little old ladies. That's also interesting to me. Because, you know, when we're first we're growing up, we're called young people. Then we get a little bit older, and we're then young adults. But it seems like the older we get, then we start getting little. The little old man, the little old lady. And this is a story about two little old ladies. They lived, both of them, I mean, they lived in North Dakota. And they not only lived in North Dakota, they were living on a farm in North Dakota. And that farm was not only a farm in North Dakota, it was a dumpy farm in North Dakota. And the reason it was the dumpiest farm is that, you know, they had it when they were young and now they're in their 80s. Young 80s. And, well, the chicken coop is falling down. You can imagine this. The barn is kind of leaning. And not on the everlasting arms. Just leaning. The rusted machinery, all the tractors that they used to use, they're all rusted. Everything is falling apart. Even they said, we're falling apart. But these ladies, I don't know, there was something about ladies. They were as tough as nails. And so one day, they had a nephew come to visit them from the city. You know, the city boy, the nephew. Comes down and looks at all the place. And he happens to have a camera with him. And he's going to take a picture of them. So they get together right there. The little old ladies are straight. And they stand up and they smile. And behind them, the background to the picture was that barnyard that was tilting, the old machinery that was rusted, the chicken coop that was falling apart. But they're smiling there. They're just standing. And he takes the picture. He goes back to the city. He sends them a copy of the picture. And they just smile, and they loved it so much that they said, let's make Christmas cards out of it. And so they did. They made Christmas cards, and they sent it out to the people and friends. And this is what the Christmas card said. Now, you got to imagine this, okay? Use your imagination. Two ladies, old ladies in their 80s, really proud of their farm falling apart in the back and everything. Big black bold letters. Merry Christmas at the top. And the bottom, God is with us. God is with us even in our mess. But that is so true. And I am thankful for that, that God, being God, is still willing to be with us even in our mess. Jesus Christ came as a little baby, was born in the worst of conditions. He was worshipped by shepherds, not by the high society, not by the rulers. They should have been there. They should have been there. But they were not there. Augustine once said this. He said, what good is it? Let me just quote it. What difference does it make that Christ was born so long ago in Bethlehem if he be not born in me? What difference does it make that 2,000 plus years ago Jesus Christ was born in that stable in Bethlehem, but he hasn't been born in my heart? The song we're going to sing to close, number 132. O come, all ye faithful, triumphant, come to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. It says, O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And I pray that each one of us would make Christ the Lord of our life. Let us adore him in our life at all times.
I'd like to invite you to stand while we sing this song.
To Bethlehem.
Prince of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, Lord, this happy morning, Jesus, to Thee be all
came to Jesus. She worshiped Him and adored Him. And in return for doing that, she got one of the greatest gifts. And that great gift was the forgiveness of her sins. And you too, all of us, we could worship and adore Jesus. And in return, we too can receive the greatest gift, the forgiveness of our sins. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for giving His life for us and for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. And so as we continue to remember His birth, I pray that, yes, we may do that, but that every day He will be born in our hearts and live with us until we see Him coming again for us. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.